السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. نحمدہ ونصلی علی رسول الکریم، اما بعد، اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. ولقد فتنا قبلهم قوم فرعون وجاءهم رسول کریم ان ادو الی عباد اللہ انی لکم رسول امین وأن لا تعلوا على الله إني آتيكم بسلطان مبين. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers, the verse which I wish to discuss is the last part of this ruku, in which Allah تبارک و تعالی says, فما بكت عليهم السماء والأرض وما كانوا منذرين. Neither did the heavens cry over them, nor did the earth. Neither did the heavens weep, nor did the earth weep. And neither were they given any kind of reprieve or respite. So before this, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala discusses the qawm of Fir'aun. Now it's a very, very long story. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's qissa, and if we have to start, we can go on the whole night. Therefore they say one Maulana, he had by-hearted all the different riwayat with regards to Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's story. And when he used to start, so it used to take hours. So people used to get tired and they used to complain. And they knew the moment he starts with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam story, then you'll have to sit for a couple hours. So on one occasion, whilst he was speaking, somebody in the audience said that must cut it short, must cut the story short. So he said, tumhe baitna padega, jab tak Firaun dubega nahi, us waqt tak baitna padega. I've only started with Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's birth. Now by the time he's going to drown, it's going to still take a long time. Whether you like it or not, you sit now until he drowns, because you have heard about his birth already. Nevertheless, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala discusses Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's da'wat to Fir'aun. Allah ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّا قَبْلَهُمْ قَوْمَ فِرْعَوْنَ. Allah Ta'ala definitely tested the qawm of Fir'aun before you. Allah Ta'ala tested the qawm of Fir'aun. And to them came a messenger who was very, very truthful. That is Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. I'm not doing tafsir, just giving you the gist of the ayat. We're not going into any detailed discussion of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Fir'aun, Bani Israel, etc. So Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, as a very honest, truthful messenger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, came to ND221286. So Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam told Fir'aun that hand over to me the bondsmen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. These slaves of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the Bani Israel, hand them over to me, because I am a very, very truthful messenger to you. First Allah ta'ala says, وَجَاهُمْ رَسُولٌ كَرِيمٌ, a very noble messenger. And then also he was told that he must not be arrogant, he must not rebel on earth, because as Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had come with authority from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He had come with clear signs. There were so many mu'jazats of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So with all those signs and everything else being so manifest and clear, so there was no reason for Fir'aun to be arrogant. But he was still arrogant, he was very proud. And then Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam also told him that I have already sought protection in my Allah from any kind of injury that you are going to cause. If you think by stoning me, you will get rid of me. So I have asked Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He is my Rabb, your Rabb. I have already asked Him for protection. And if you do not wish to believe and you don't want to, and you are not believing, then leave me alone. That means if you want to believe, believe. If you don't want to believe and you want to face destruction, then that's your business. But then leave me alone to do my work. Do not cause obstructions. Don't create problems for me. As I said, I'm just giving you the gist of those ayat. But when he refused to accept, then Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam made dua to Allah Ta'ala. And many other places in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala discusses that. But here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's beloved Rasul, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that these people are very, very sinful. They have made up their minds, they are not going to accept. So in other words, he asked for the destruction. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala ordered him to take them at night. You must cross the sea at night. But you must remember that innakum muttaba'un, that you are going to be pursued, you are going to be followed. When you are going to take the Bani Israel and leave at night, you are going to be pursued and followed. But you must leave the sea after you have hit the ocean with your staff, with your stick. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will create the way for you and the Bani Israel. And that's what Allah Ta'ala did, that He created so many different roads for them on the Red Sea. But Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was told that after that, when you cross, then you must just leave it, because these people who are following, they are a big army and they are going to drown. They will be drowned, you don't have to worry, you cross. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and his people crossed. And after that we know that Fir'aun and his people, when they were in the middle of the ocean, the waters of the ocean drowned them. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that how much different things have been discussed, but just again, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that how many gardens they left behind, how many fountains they left behind, how many plantations and cornfields and other things they left behind, how many palatial mansions they left behind, big, big palaces, big, big homes, big, big buildings on which they were proud, over which they were proud, the cause of their arrogance, all that wealth, and all those ni'mats of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, which was giving them great enjoyment and great pleasure and great happiness, and which made them believe that they are the beloved of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Because if Allah Ta'ala was not pleased with them, then He would have not given them so much of the material wealth. I'm giving an explanation. That they truly believed that all these things that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave them was because Allah Ta'ala was pleased with them. If He was not pleased with them, would He have given them all that? So when the destruction came upon them, when they were drowned, Allah Ta'ala says, how many of these things they left behind. And generally when a person suffers a loss, when there is a loss, when somebody loses his material wealth, possessions, or loses members of his family, or there is an earthquake or floods, gale force winds, tremors, which have taken a lot of lives, then there is a kind of grief and sorrow. So much so that even the skies, for the mu'min, it is said that there are two doors in the heavens. Hazrat Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala reports that there are two doors in the heavens. One is that from which his rizq and sustenance comes. And the other one is from which his soul goes up. So when the soul of a mu'min goes up, that means when a person dies, then even the skies cry over the loss of that one mu'min. One sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, their death used to shake the arsh of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So many incidents of thousands of angels descending just to bury one sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. What kind of status they had. What kind of love even the things of this world had for them. We may not be able to understand this love that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala puts into the things of this world. But it is something that is a reality. Everything works in their favor. What does that mean? That this whole creation of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala uses for their benefit. So, but when these people drowned, Allah Ta'ala says nobody cried for them. There was nobody to shed a tear for them. Whole nation drowning and nobody to shed a tear. The angels were not concerned. The earth is not concerned. The sky is not concerned. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala himself not concerned that this whole nation of Fir'aun has drowned. Why? Because of their misdeeds, because of their disobedience, because of their rejection of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we as believers on this earth, and especially being the ummatis of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we have got great amount of responsibility upon our shoulders. I was discussing some time back Hazrat Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Ali's one poetry, Musalmano Utho Bahre Amal Tayyar Ho Jao. Quite a number of things we discussed when we were discussing that poetry. But today, in connected with this ayat of the Quran Sharif, that we as believers, if we really want Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's angels and the heaven and the earth and everything to work in our favor, so then we will have to do that which the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala na majma'in did. We will not be like the Sahabas. But all those things that brought them the assistance and help of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we will have to engage in those things. And those things which were the cause of the destruction and decline of the people of the past, we will have to restrain ourselves from those things. I was speaking to some friends after Zohar, talking about the environment. So I said, indeed, the environment is very, very vicious. Who says that the environment is not vicious? And in this month of July, it seems like all doors of Shaitan are open. All the doors of Jahannam are open and inviting everybody to enter through whichever door is convenient for them. But Jahannam is inviting. And people who are of sound mind, who are outwardly righteous and pious like us, outwardly, then we too get caught up in all those fitnas. So if the environment is vicious, then what should we be really doing? Why should we go to those areas where we are bound to get caught in the webs of Shaitan? I said, we all know that the environment of the Kruger National Park is very, very vicious. Who doesn't know that? In the Kruger National Park, there's lions, there's cheetahs, there's tigers, there's wild pigs, there's rhinoceros, so many different kinds of snakes and scorpions. So the environment is very, very vicious. So what do we do there? We have to go through the park, then we will sit in the car, we'll make sure that the windows are fastened properly, they are shut properly, that the paw of the lion must not go through that window. We are not going to pop our heads out and check. We're not going to stand outside and challenge those lions. That let me see how strong and powerful you are. We take every kind of protection. And people are also concerned when they get out at those areas where they say that you are safe. You can have some picnic, you can have your prayers, your salat. But there too, there's somebody checking around. Some lion mustn't come from somewhere. So So with all that precaution, then we go through. So in the same way, if a person has to go to the beachfront, the person has to go for work or to visit some family members, or he's a resident in that area, or for business reasons. So what must he do then? He must take all the protection that is necessary. He must secure himself from the attacks of shaitan and then go through, no problem. His taqwa must remain salamat wherever he is. Jis jahan mein rahun, jis fiza mein rahun, mera taqwa hamesha salamat rahe. Samane aisa khawfe qiyamat rahe. Har gunah se meri hifazat rahe. The khawf of qiyamat, like the khawf in the jungle of those lions, of those tigers. How that person has got their khawf there. And therefore he is trying to stay away as much as possible from those places. And if he has to go, then he takes every kind of precaution. In the same way, in these areas which are inviting the wrath and the ghazab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we don't see it because our hearts are already so pitch black that most sins don't make any difference. It just doesn't affect us because the whole day we are doing the same thing. It's like that person that is working in a garage, but he's wearing a black overall. Now there's grease on that overall. All kinds of dirt and marks are falling on that overall. But the person cannot see it, and he himself doesn't make it out. Why? Because it's already turned black. But if the person had to wear something that was white, a white garment, then one drop of black also will make him feel uncomfortable. So like that, our hearts have already become pitch black due to the abundant amount of sins that we commit with our gazes and with our hearing and with our speech and with our hands and feet. Now the heart has turned pitch black. Ayat of the Quran Sharif, hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, or hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, don't seem to have any impact after that anymore. So we have to be on guard. We mustn't blame the environment all the time, because the environment is vicious, we know it. Now if we cannot change it, then stay away from there. Unnecessarily going shopping, unnecessarily going touring in those areas, and especially when there's so much of nudity and sin, then move out, go travel out a little distance away, where it is quiet, where there is no crowd, or where there's not such kind of fitnas. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ocean is so vast. There's such a long shore from this end to the other end. Move out a little bit if you want to go and enjoy the waves of the ocean. Nobody says haram. But when it is crowded, at that time to be amongst the people that are sinning openly, unconcerned, and to go and sit in their midst, in our garments of piety, it is definitely not befitting a Muslim, and especially a Salik. That person's heart will never enjoy the sweetness of Iman. The restlessness will not go from that heart, no matter how much he tries. So there's nothing wrong if people are living in the beachfront, there are businesses there, or for other reasons, or even if the person just wants to go and enjoy some swimming or see the waves of the ocean, or enjoy the beautiful scenery, watch the ship, the boats sail. Nobody says it's haram. But we must first check our taqwa at what level it is. But if the fatwa is given by our nafs, and that is the best mufti to ask a fatwa from, don't ask other muftis, ask the nafs, ask the heart. That what am I going there for? The heart will tell us what are we going there for. If the heart tells us that we are going there also to enjoy casting lustful glances at all those women that are swimming there and semi-naked, that is what you are really going there for. So then you don't need another mufti's fatwa. Then distance yourself immediately from here. Go to some other place. or go when the July season is over. Why complain if we are doing it purposely? There's no real need. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave us aqal, He gave us intelligence, and He gave us himmat, He gave us courage to stay away from sins. Accidental sins, or where the person just cannot avoid, there we say make plenty of istighfar and tawbah. But purposely the person should not go out in search of sins, because that will create darkness in the heart, zulmat, darkness. And if a person has got even a little bit of iman, he will sense it, that there's darkness that is entering. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect us all. The heart is the central government. Just as in our government, in our country, we have a central government, then we have provinces. In the same way, our heart is the central government. And then it's got provinces, the eyes, the ears. The five senses are the five provinces of this government, in this country, that our whole body is one country. So the central government and then all these provinces. And then we have terrorists, criminals, just as we talk about in the country, a lot of terrorists, a lot of criminals. But the governments of the world cannot identify those who are real terrorists. Anyone and everyone that they suspect is a terrorist. But with regards to this human being, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala Himself informed us that the nafs and shaitan, these are the two terrorists. And they are out to destroy you. They want to bombard your capital. The heart is the capital. So Allah Ta'ala has informed us, nafs and shaitan, they are the terrorists. And they got big, big bombs. And they want to bombard your capital, the heart. And they want to create rebellion in all the provinces. So the person who is a Muslim, then he tries to guard that capital, his heart. And he tries to protect the borders of that country. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given us the himmat, the courage. So the Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says,
ذرا سوچو کہ تم پہلے تو کیا تھے اور اب کیا ہو کرو کچھ شرم تم خیر البشر کے نام لیوا ہو یہ بد اعمالیاں چھوڑو اگر فتح و ظفر چاہو یہ بد اعمالیاں چھوڑو اگر فتح و ظفر چاہو خدا کے تم بنو پہلے خدا بھی پھر تمہارا ہو ذرا سوچو کہ تم پہلے تو کیا تھے اور اب کیا ہو کرو کچھ شرم تم خیر البشر کے نام لیوا ہو یہ بد اعمالیاں چھوڑو اگر فتح و ظفر چاہو خدا کے تم بنو پہلے خدا بھی پھر تمہارا ہو.
Think for a little while, what were you at one time? You are the ones who are taking the name of خیر البشر, رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, that you are his ummati. We all are saying that we are his ummati, we are his ummati. So if we are his ummatis, then think, what were the ummatis of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam at one time? What kind of akhlaq they had? What kind of muasharat they had? What kind of etiquettes, morals, transactions, dealings, relationship with people? What kind of ibadat they had? What kind of tilawat they had? What kind of zikr they had? What kind of sakhawat or generosity and kindness they had? What kind of sincerity they had. What kind of ibadat, namaz, roza, zakat and hajj they had. What were you at one time, he says, and what are you now? Look at the difference, look at the difference. Look at our homes and look at their homes. Any one home of the sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, can anyone say that there were lots of pictures that were hanging around on the walls? of animate objects. That if anybody went into their home, they were shown that this is the picture of my daughter's wedding, and this is the picture on the occasion of the birthday of my beloved son, and this is the picture of the Walima occasion, or other pictures that are hanging on the walls. Can anyone say there was one Sahabi? Can anybody say that he went into the home of any one Sahabi? 124,000 were on the plains of Arafat. Besides them, so many didn't make it to Arafat. So how many there were? But can anyone say that there was one Sahabi, one companion of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that quietly in privacy, he used to listen to music, he used to watch some filthy pictures, filthy films. They may not have been films, but they were pictures that time too. Or there was a large number of homes, there were a large number of people that never made it for namaz in the masjid. They made one namaz, somebody made two namazes, some sahabi made only three, and some made only Jummah namaz, and some made only Eid namaz. As someone said, saat ki, aat ki, saat ki, khat ki, or 360 ki. Some people make three namazes. One is on the Friday, Jumu'ah, and one is the Janaza Salat, and the other one is after 360 days, the Eid Namaz. So will anybody find one Sahabi like that? This is what he says. Zara socho ke tum pehle kya the, aur ab kya ho? What are we now? And what was an ummati of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in his time? Karo kuch sharm. Have some kind of haya, some kind of shame. How are we going to face Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah? When we are going to ask him for Jam-e Kawthar, the drink of Kawthar from his Mubarak hands. And then if he has to hold our garment and tell us that when my deen was leaving your home and your bazaars and your marketplaces and your marriages and your walimas and your business houses, there was no deen left. At that time, not even a frown came on your forehead. You indulged in all the vices and sins with smile and with laughter, and you bragged about your sins, and you invited the newspapers to those functions, the newspaper journalists to those functions, that we are having this function where there will be dance and drink and gambling and music and other things and fashion shows, and you must come and take our pictures and put it in the newspapers, smiling away. Karo kuch sharam. What is haya? What is sharam? فَإِنَّ حَقِيقَةَ الْحَيَا أَنَّ مَوْلَاكَ لَا يَرَاكَ حَيْثُ نَهَاكَ. That is the haqiqat of haya. Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali says, Allah Ta'ala must not find us in those places that He has prohibited us to be there, which is disliked by Him, which Allah Ta'ala is displeased with, then He must not see us in those places. In other words, stay away from those places. So that is why I say that indeed we know that the environment is very vicious, then purposely why go into such an environment if we do not have the resistance power? We do not have that kind of taqwa. Out of necessity, due to business reasons or other reasons, the person has to go, nobody stops. But try and be on guard. And he says, if you want success, you want victory, to ye bad amaliya chhod do. Give up this evil way of life if you want victory. And this victory is not only in the battlefield, it's not only when there is some jihad that is taking place somewhere, because the moment we talk about zafar and victory and success, then we always think of some battlefield. And that too is included. Allah Ta'ala will give the whole ummah victory there too. But in our own personal lives also, if we want victory, if we want success, If you want happiness, if you want sukoon, if you want contentment, if you want Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's mercy and kindness and Allah ta'ala's forgiveness, so then we have to give up those bad amaliha. It is painful. Who said it is not painful? To give it up is painful. When the whole environment, people are indulging in those sins and vices and evils, then it is painful. But the more the pain the person suffers in giving up sins, jitni teri qurbani, itni khuda ki meherbani. Jitna tera mujahada, itna tera mushahada. How much mujahada we're going to make, that's how much mushahada we'll get to. So nobody says that it's not painful. It is painful. But to take that pain for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala becomes so pleased that He gives that person halawat of iman, sweetness of iman. And you have heard more than 120 times now that the sugar cane is nothing but bamboo sticks. Who is it that puts the sweetness into those bamboo sticks? If the person has to dig around that sugar cane, he will find nothing but earth. There will be no taste of sugar in. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who can sweeten the cane, sweeten wood, and make it so valuable. So cannot He put sweetness into our hearts of iman? And that sweetness is not like the sweetness of sugar cane. It's a sweetness which, as Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayh has said, and many times you have heard, that the languages of the world do not have the vocab to give an explanation of that sweetness. That fragrance, you cannot explain it in words. It has everything to do with taste. The person writes or does a PhD on sugar cane, and he writes everything that is known in the world about sugar, but he hasn't tasted anything sweet, so then it is useless. But the person who does not know much, doesn't have much knowledge, but he has tasted sugar or sugar cane, then we will say that that is the person who is successful. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants to give us a life like that. So people are complaining and complaining and complaining. No peace, no happiness, fights, wars, Third World War, Fourth World War. And I don't know how many world wars have already taken place in the homes between husbands and wives, parents and children, family members. It's just not ending. Whole day it's the same thing that you hear. So give up the bad amaliya. If Allah Ta'ala is displeased, no matter what we try as a solution to the problem, it's not going to resolve the problem. You can have all the conferences in the world, all the seminars and all the lectures and all the counseling and all the advices and everything. At the end of the day, those very counselors and those very advisors and those very people lecturing and those very people who are talking, they are the ones who suffer the same problems. If they are doing those actions which are displeasing to Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala will create friction and division and disunity between Himself and His wife, no matter how much of lectures He sits and or stands and gives. Nigahe aqriba badli mizaje dostan badla nazar ek unki kya badli ke kul sara jahan. If Allah Ta'ala turns His gaze of mercy away, nothing in the world can protect that person from destruction. And the first destruction comes on the heart. I'm not talking about the physical heart, the spiritual heart. Restlessness, anxieties. So it's actually a manifestation of our sins. So he says, ye bad amaliya chodo agar fatwa zafar chaho, khuda ke tum bano pehle, khuda bhi phir tumhara ho. First become Allah's, then Allah Ta'ala will become yours. Man kana lillah kana Allahu lahu. The person who becomes Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala becomes his. It's not a one-way thing, that we want Allah Ta'ala to become ours, but we want to do nothing. Extremely difficult to get up in the morning. Extremely difficult to do this. Extremely difficult to throw out those movies and TVs. We'll find justification that we only watch this, we only watch that. But when 80% of the content of the television programs is haram, then is it something that is advisable in a Muslim home? So ye bad aamal ya chodo agar fath ho zafar chaho khuda ke tum bano pehle khuda bhi phir tumhara ho. Allah Ta'ala will then become yours. And when Allah Ta'ala will become ours, then everything will work in our favor. Agar ek tu nahi mera to koi shay nahi meri, jo tu mera to sab mera, falak mera, zameen meri. It does not mean that after that the person will not suffer poverty, he will not have any kind of accident in his life, he will not get any pain in his stomach or head or heart or liver or lung. This person will have nothing but smile and laughter all the time. It does not mean that. The person can still meet up with accidents, the person can still have poverty, the person can still have sickness and pain and suffering. But in that suffering, in that pain, in that hardship, in that difficulty, he will experience the closeness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He will truly believe that my Allah is with me. And if it is from my Allah's side, so then there's nothing but khair in it. Some people, as I've said many times, Allah Ta'ala will take through the route of sabr, that Allah Ta'ala will give the person pain, suffering, sickness, hardship, difficulties, and take him through that route and make him his. And someone Allah Ta'ala will take through the route of shukr and make him his. Give him plenty of wealth, good home, good children, good car, good everything, and make him his. So the person in both conditions then will be successful. And he will not suffer that restlessness, because he will believe now that my Allah is the one who has made this decision. If not, believe me, how many people today also must have heard 3 times from different people, I can't take this problem anymore, I'd rather commit suicide. Just suicide, everybody wants to commit suicide. Ab to ye kehte hain ke mar jayenge, mar ke bhi chain nahi aaya to kidhar jayenge. By taking life, is that a solution to the problem? And to take life for what? Husband-wife problem, take life. Children troubling, take life. Poverty, take life. So first we must make Allah Ta'ala ours. Then He will become ours. If He is ours, then everything will be ours. And if He is not ours, nothing will be ours. The person will have everything, but he'll have nothing but restlessness. So therefore he says that, ye bad aamaliya chodo agar fatho zafar chaho khuda ke tum bano pehle khuda bhi phir tumhara ho. Bas ab to bandaye haq aur muslim naam ke hum hain, mutwi nafs o shaitan bandaye dinar o dirham hain. Kabhi hum fakhr e alam the magar ab nang e alam hain, kabhi hum mehre taaba the aur ab zarro se bhi kam tar hain. He says, now we are just Muslims in name. At one time we were Muslims in reality. Now we have got Muslim names. And just Muslim name is not sufficient to draw the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala and the assistance and help of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala's help, His nusrat, is not with names. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala looks at actions and deeds. At one time we were like the shining sun. Now we've got absolutely no shine at all. And we say that we are servants of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we are Muslims. But in reality, we have become the slaves of nafs and shaitan. Whichever way, whichever direction, whichever place they drag us towards, we are there. Nafs must just make one taqaza, one demand. That I want to do this, I want to see that, I want to hear that. I want to engage in adultery, fornication, watch porn sites on the internet. Anything, that there must be just a demand from the nafs. And we fold our hands and we say, I'm at your command. Wherever you wish to take me, I'm at your command. So then who do we blame after that? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants to give us a life of happiness, a life of peace, a life of contentment. That Hindu person that accepted Islam, that too I must have mentioned many times, but it just comes again, then I will repeat. When he accepted Islam, they came upon him like a ton of bricks. His whole family against him, the whole society against him, everybody threatening him and will boycotting him. So in that one Jalsa in Delhi in 1963, because he was a poet also, so in the Jalsa he read that poetry, which up till now I remember some verses of it. But it touches the heart, because it came from a person whose background was that of Hindu. Hinduism. And he comes into Islam and he goes through all the tests and trials, but he stays steadfast, and he says in that pain, he's tolerating it. He's not saying, I can take my life, commit suicide and leave this world. All these people are against me now.
Lakh aaye musibat to parwa nahi, लाख टूटे सितम उसका शिकवा नहीं, लाख आए मुसीबत तो परवाह नहीं, लाख टूटे सितम उसका शिकवा नहीं, चाहे बदले जमाना नहीं उसका गम, आप बदले तो अपना ठिकाना नहीं। चाहे बदले जमाना नहीं उसका गम, आप बदले तो अपना ठिकाना नहीं।
So he says, oh Allah, I'm not complaining of the hardship, difficulties, tests and trials. Thousands of more hardships come upon me, I'm not concerned. If the whole world turns against me, I'm not concerned. But if you turn away, then I'm not going to have any place to stand. Then I will face nothing but destruction.
कोई मंजिल भी है इस गुनहगार की, या तड़पता रहेगा यूं ही उम्र भर।
Now, although he was practicing on Islam, he was tolerating all the difficulties and the hardships and the pain and problem that was coming with it. But still, the true sifat of a Muslim, that he still says, Ya Allah, I am weak. I know that I am a sinful person. But is there any grace for me?
कोई मंजिल भी है इस गुनहगार की, या तड़पता रहेगा यूं ही उम्र भर, मैंने माना खताओं का पुतला हूं मैं, अपनी नजरों से लेकिन गिराना नहीं। मैंने माना खताओं का पुतला हूं मैं, अपनी नजरों से लेकिन गिराना नहीं।
या अल्लाह, डोंट कास्ट मी असाइड, डोंट रिजेक्ट मी, डोंट ड्रॉप मी फ्रॉम योर साइट। आई एग्री एंड आई एक्नॉलेज दैट इंडीड आई एम अ वेरी सिंपल वन। दैट इज व्हाट वी मस्ट डू, एक्नॉलेज बिफोर अल्लाह तबारक व तआला, क्राई बिफोर अल्लाह तआला, शेड टीयर्स ऑफ रिमोर्स, रिग्रेट, शेम, नदामत। Don't brag about sins. Don't indulge in vices and evils and then advertise them. Express happiness over them. Express grief, sorrow that I should not have done this. Then with that istighfar and tawbah, the person will reach the stage of a muttaqi. Because we are weak, so Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in these times, it made it easy for us. The sahaba-i-kiram, if they did not practice on 10%, they would have been seized. And in our times, the times of fitna and the latter times, if we practice on 10%, we will get najat. But that doesn't mean the salat, now you must cut it down to 10%. And zakat, cut it down by another 90%. Meaning those optional ibadat and zikr and tilawat and all that, what they used to do, we can't do that. 10% if we do, we'll get najat. Because of the fitnas that we are. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us himmat, courage and the strength to obey him. To obey his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to distance ourselves from all those things that invite his wrath, his anger. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is loving, he is very caring, he is very merciful, he is very kind. Wallah, we haven't tasted Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's qurb. When the person's heart gets the tajalli of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then it flows like the waves of the ocean. When we go there and watch the waves of the ocean, then that is what we must understand. That is how the waves of Allah ta'ala's muhabbat flows on the heart of a mu'min. And if Allah Ta'ala's love comes, then does anybody like to displease his beloved? In this world, is there any sensible person? Unless, of course, he's a stupid and an idiot or a mad person. But any sensible person, does he like to displease his beloved? So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has blessed us with so much, so much. Then should we not be doing those things that are pleasing to you? And distance ourselves from those things that are displeasing to you. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya arhamar rahimin, ya akram al akramin, ya ghiyath al mustaghithin, ya rahim al masakin, ya hayyu ya qayyum, bi rahmatika nastaghith. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. Oh my beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, most forgiving Allah, most compassionate, loving, caring Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Forgive us, our parents, our wives and children, brothers and sisters in the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, forgive our major sins and minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, in the light of day or darkness of nights. Oh my beloved Allah, we are extending our begging bowls before you. You are all seeing, all hearing, all knowing. Ya Allah, we are ashamed of the sins that we have committed in our lives. We are not justifying any of our sins. Ya Allah, forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, our hands and feet, our heart and mind. Ya Allah, hum gunegar hai, siyakar hai, badkar hai, mujrim khatakar hai. Hum gande hai, napaak hai, sab kuch hai, bande magar tere hai. Tujhe chhod ke hum gande jaye kahan? Which other door is there that we can tap? Which other home is there that we can beg? My beloved Allah, we are turning towards you. We are being lashed by storms of fitnas from our right, from our left, from in front of us and behind us, pouring from the satellites above us. My beloved Allah, where do we go? Who is there to give us protection besides you? Ya Allah, protect our iman, protect our Islam, protect our homes, our properties, our life, our children. Protect the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Protect the Haramain Sharifain from all fitnas. Ya Allah, protect Masjid-e-Aqsa. Ya Allah, protect Masjid-e-Aqsa. Ya Allah, give your nusrat and your help to our Palestinian brothers and sisters. Ya Allah, those who are out to destroy them, those who are continuing with the suppression and oppression and tyranny, Ya Allah, give them hidayat. Bless them with Iman and Islam. But if they have made up their minds, they will not accept Islam and they will continue with the tyranny and persecution, then Ya Allah, destroy them like you destroyed the Aad and the Samud. shake them like you shook the nations of the past. Ya Allah, create division amongst their ranks. Cause the planes to crash. Cause the ships to sink. Unite the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, unite the hearts of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, have mercy upon us. Open the floodgates of rahmat for us. Ya Allah, open the floodgates of forgiveness for us. Ya Allah, overlook the shortcomings, the weaknesses and the faults of the ummah. Those who are sick and ailing, give them complete shifa from all sicknesses, ailments and diseases. Whether they are in hospitals, in clinics, in homes or amongst us. Wherever they may be, Ya Allah, bless them with shifa. Give them sihat tamma, kamila, ajila, daima, mustamira. My beloved Allah, those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal risk and remove their difficulties. Those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Those who have children, make the children obedient to them. Ya Allah, obedient to you and your beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, we have to leave this world one day. Don't let the angel of death visit us in a casino, disco, cinema, theater, gambling den, watching some filth on the television screen or internet site. Ya Allah, don't let the angel of death find us popping drugs in our mouths. When the time of our departure comes, take us to Madina Tayyiba. Take us to Madina Tayyiba. Bless us with death and shahadat in Madina Tayyiba. Bless us with burial in Jannatul Baqi. Ya Allah, bless us with barakat in our businesses, in our homes, in our lives, in our time, in every ni'mat and bounty of yours. Don't seize those ni'mats and bounties because of our sins and disobedience. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made du'as for us. Ya Allah, bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless our parents, wives and children and the ummah with their goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, you are well aware of the desires, the wishes, the aspirations that are in the hearts of each and every one who has raised his or her hand this part of the night before you. Fulfill all those good wishes, good desires. Bless everyone with success. And Ya Allah, you are well aware of the hardship, the difficulties, the problems, the pain, the suffering, the poverty that each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you is experiencing. Ya Allah, with your fazl, with your ihsan, with your kindness, remove those difficulties, hardships, problems and obstacles. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ سَيِّدِنَا وَنَبِيِّنَا وَشَفِيعِنَا وَمَوْلَانَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ